1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's continue from where we stopped yesterday. Here we are teaching the church and ministry gifts. I said something yesterday, Vital, that it's as though you can't teach one without the other. Because if you're around yesterday, you discover that we said, the moment you mention the ecclesia, right? Then, right in the ecclesia, you have to mention identification, right? And then you mention the gathering, the people, right? And then you mention the authorities. And so, it becomes imperative that to teach the ministry gift also, you have to mention the church, because the ministry gift functions in the church. The authority in the ecclesia remains in the ecclesia. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, now concerning spirituals. Of course, the word gift is in italics, which makes sense, right? Right? We said it makes sense the same way, because you now discover that in verse 4, he will talk about the gifts. And in verse 28, he will say, and God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, no? Then mentions miracles, mentions healings, mentions some of the gifts of the Spirit also. And so we say, the moment you say gifts, again, it will be gifts as two things. Gifts as what? Endowments, right? That's what you have as the charismatic, right? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, you know, spirit, prophecy, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, miracles, healings, and the gift of faith. So you have gifts as endowment. You know how, you now also have gifts as what? As men or as ministries. And that's where you have apostles. And so gifts can be looked at in two ways. But look at that 1 Corinthians 12 again. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have ignorant. Then it says in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. We have a long way to go this morning. Morning sessions are always the longest. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are what? Diversities. No, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but the same God are working on. We say the ministry in verse 5 will be the ministry of the gifts. Again, the focus is on the gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. And so whatever appellation and whatever adjective he will be using will be for the gifts. Is it making sense? And so it says, the ministry, there are differences in administration or ministry, diakonia. So the differences will be in the differences in the ministering of the gifts. While verse 6 will say, and there are diversities of operations, energio, operations of what? Operations of the ministry. Is it making sense? Eh? Operations of the ministry of the gifts. And so that must be clear. That must be clear. And so we said all of that you will find it in where? The Spirit. Right? Because he calls them spiritual. Again, we looked at that word spiritual yesterday, pneumaticals, right? We saw that the first use will be in 1 Corinthians 2:13, of course in the book of Corinthians. Earlier on, you find it in Romans 1:11. But we looked at the word yesterday now 26 times, right? Right? I guess we ended with, is it Peter? 1 Peter 2:5? And so we look at that word, we look at the usage of the word spiritual, and we saw that it actually means spirit things. It's actually things spirit, or spirit things, or things pertaining to the Spirit. Is it making sense? So that's it. Concerning things pertaining to the Spirit. Also, we look at that those, by you mentioning Spirit, again, our first recording of Spirit will be where? The Spirit of God. Thank you very much. Our first recording of Spirit in the epistles will be the Spirit of God. And so it says, now concerning things pertaining to the Spirit of God, I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. Of course, verse 2 is not talking about you. It says, you know you are Gentiles carried away unto this done by us, even as you are led. Obviously, that's to the Corinth. There are some verses in the Bible that you can't quote for yourself. All the verses you are written to me. You are written to me. So what about Jesus telling Mary Magdalene, go and tell Peter. And so you are more than Mopo. That's a Mopo. You know Mopo? Mopo means is a place in the battle. So I say, Morile is that you start going to Mopo and be looking for Peter. Alright. And so there are those kind of verses don't talk about you, right? Eh? And so you must learn to filter. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. And you have been tarrying. You have been tarrying and waiting for the Holy Ghost since when? But he said in Jerusalem, you are in Ikorodu. How is Jerusalem in Ikorodu? How is Ikorodu Jerusalem? Hallelujah. And so he even told them to tarry for this. You have been tarrying for years. You have been born again 7 years. You are still tarrying. Ah. Look at you. Again. We said our first weapon of the spirit, what spirit will be the spirit of God. So Paul is saying now concerning the things pertaining to the spirit of God. I would say this, we can't mention the spirit of God without laying hold on the resurrection. Right? Right? That because in the resurrection is where we have the giving of the spirit. In the resurrection is where we have the giving of the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Alright, so we can rephrase 1 Corinthians 12:1 in a sense, at least to, so that this teaching can be well understood by saying, now concerning things pertaining to the resurrection. Because obviously, the Holy Ghost was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified, John 7:39. And that means the Spirit of Truth comes upon the resurrection, John 16, verse 12. And so, you can't have the Spirit of God without the resurrection. And so, if Paul says, I will speak to you concerning the things of the Spirit, then we need to look at the things of the resurrection. Is it making sense? Eh? Alright. So we need to look at the things of the resurrection. Now concerning things pertaining to the resurrection, I will not have you ignorant. And also in the resurrection, we have been able to see that yesterday, that in the resurrection, the church was birth. Right? Right? And it was birth with a call. Eh? Right? Because by saying church, ecclesia, we look at the splitting of that word, right? To be ek, which is out, and kaleo, right? Which is to call. So, what we have as ecclesia is the called out ones. Again, it will have its background in the Jewish journey of the children of Jacob, the Israelites. They were called out of Egypt, and you keep, in the Old Testament, you will see that reiteration. I am the Lord God that called you out of Egypt. Again, that is the church. And we now saw Stephen's sermon in the book of Acts, in Acts 7, when Stephen said, in verse 37, the Lord shall raise a prophet among you, among your brethren, like unto me. Of course, he was quoting Moses, like unto me, him shall you hear. Then it says, of whom he spoke, of the church in the wilderness, Acts 7:38. And so, while you are looking at a nation, right in that wilderness, Stephen is showing you the appropriate thing, that they were actually the called out ones, the church, right? We also saw Deuteronomy 31:30, Moses' way of describing the children of Israel as what? A congregation. And we look at that word, kalah. Right? Q-A-L, which we said, that's a dual usage, a dual purpose. Number one, it will be used for a people, what will be common to them is, they will have the same father. They will have just one father. And so, in the Kalal, you have one father. And also, their gathering. And so, by saying congregation, you have meant two things. And we look at that, the word temple, will now be what will split it for us. Right? We look at the word temple also. Nihon and Aaron. Right? Aaron will be the entire building. Right? Why Nihon will be that that place that is inhabited. Right? And so as a believer is that Nihon of God. Right? 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Okay? Let's move on. Again, go back to Matthew 16. We were there yesterday. Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? That is, everybody has been saying their own. But who do you say that I am? Jesus said unto them, no, verse 16. Simon Peter said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. We explained that. The Son of the God that is alive. Right? Again, that would be a pointer to his resurrection. And Jesus now said, wow, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, that is, you have not known this by experience, or by being with me, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, upon this rock, and many people have misinterpreted that to mean that Peter was the rock. And funny enough, his name, now, Peter means the rock, something like that. And so, it's very easy to just... But it's just like Jesus, the way he would pick any natural thing and use it to explain whatever he's talking about, right? He will pick bread and say, I am the bread. And if you are seeing bread, it's exactly, you are seeing a rock, then he says, there's another rock. Alright. So, he will have his bread, he will have his wine, we said that yesterday, he will have his water, and he will have his rock, he will have his church. And so he says, upon this rock, the rock will be what Peter just said, what was revealed by the Father. What was revealed by the Father is that rock. Remember Moses. Eh? Show me your glory. I will hide you in this rock and I will show you my back. So the revelation of God is what you call the rock. Hallelujah. Come on. Does that make sense? Alright, so. Upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Again, we look at the word church, Ecclesia. So we said, the church, the gates of hell has not prevailed, right? Uh-huh. Again, you must always know how to use tenses. The resurrection defines a whole lot of events. Makes them past, makes them present, makes them ongoing. Hallelujah. Or makes them futuristic. Whatever. So the resurrection will be a landmark for our tenses. For example, before the resurrection, what you would tell men is, the Holy Ghost will indwell you, right? But the moment he rose from the dead, the Holy Ghost has been given. And so, the resurrection becomes that landmark for our tenses. And so, Jesus says, the gate of hell will not prevail. Of course, that's because it's pre-resurrection. But the moment he rose from the dead, exactly that's what he meant. The gate of hell did not prevail. If the gate of hell prevailed, then he won't rise from the dead. He won't be raised from the dead. And of course, David's Psalm in Psalm 24 will not be correct when he said, lift up your heads, O you gates. Is it making sense? Alright, so that means the Lord prevailed. And in that prevailing is the birthing of the church. And so, the church was birthed through hell. You know, Jesus went through hell. And the church came upon the resurrection. Exactly the calling out. So when you say call out of darkness into light, exactly that's what it is. The church was called out from hell into the kingdom of God. So the church is the product of resurrection. We have defined things that must be fulfilled in the calling, right? Moment we call it church, we said there must be identification, right? A people, remember Israel will now become the prefiguring. But the moment you mention church, ministry gifts, you are talking about Moses. We said it that Jesus, Paul, taught Moses, that they taught Moses. It was Moses in the Genesis of writing. If you cannot find ministry gifts in the Old Testament, then we cannot trust it. It must be in the writings of the prophet. Like Bible scholars will say, you must find, for something to be called sound doctrine, you must find it in the book of Genesis, as a, in the gem form, you must find it in the writings, the law of Moses, you must find it in the writings of the prophets, in the utterances of the prophets, you must find it in the four gospels in the incarnation. You must also find it in the book of Acts as the act and practice of the church. And you must find it in the epistles as doctrine. Shall I come again? For it to be called sound doctrine, you must find it in Genesis. In its gem form. You must find it in the law of Moses. Or the laws of Moses, I don't know. The law of Moses is better put. That's from Exodus to Deuteronomy. You must find it in the utterances of the prophet. Okay, you find it in the law of Moses as a law. You find it in the utterances of the prophet. You find it in the four gospels, in the incarnation and the life of Christ. You'll also find it, of course, in his teaching. You'll find it in the book of Acts, in the practice of the church. You'll find it in the epistle as the doctrine to the saints. Alright. So, again, to call it church, there will be that identification. their intercession will be primarily in their birthing. Abi? One father. I would say that, just like Israel, the church in the wilderness, they had one father, Jacob. And so, in the resurrection, if you are going to have a church, what we call the church of Christ, it has to be one father. And that's why there was no church before the resurrection, because it is by the resurrection that men are now fathered by God. Right? We said that, we have said all of that. Like, the resurrection is where men can now be fathered by God. And we look at, Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3, of the family in heaven and the earth. Alright? Also, we said, you'll find gathering. And we looked at the word ecclesia in the book, in the epistles, right? Right? Look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 2, verse 12 to 14, and Hebrews 12, 22. I'm sorry, the book of Hebrews did not mention gathering, right? As ecclesia, but rather identification, state of identification, right? And so it's only Paul and the writer of Hebrews that had that. Every other person just wrote ecclesia as a Jew. No, the way normal Jews write it. And so we said, we looked at the ecclesia, and so that the book of Hebrews actually focused on identification. But if you look at the four Gospels, we said three times in the four Gospels, right? I can still remember just yesterday night. Three times in the four Gospels, right? And Paul uses that many times. Eh? No, he's used six times. Paul used it how many times? 45 is the temple. Nion. Why we said Arion in the epistles is once. So, again we said, the identification, one, that same father, right? That's when we look at the word company, right? Remember? Eh? Talal. Company. And we said, we looked at Acts 4. Then Peter and John. They went to their own company. Exactly. Again, in Peter and John, it will be two things. They were both Jew. That's a company on its own, of course, and they were both born of the Spirit, which is the greater company. And we saw that the church will also have a gathering, will have a definite authority. So, the ecclesia will have a call to it. Moment to talk about ministry. Now, let's look at something very vital this morning, which is exactly to me. The moment to talk about ministry, some believers switch off and say, who call me? You know? Like, I'm not concerned. It's again that's the fruit of not growing spiritually. The moment someone is talking about ministry gifts and then you feel unconcerned, it's because you're not growing spiritually. Because a ministry is actually an offshoot of spiritual growth. It's a product of spiritual growth. And you're growing spiritually. It's not just shown in your knowledge alone. It's now in the responsibilities you have in the body of Christ. Does it make sense? And so responsibilities that you not just take upon yourself, but that you are delegated to as a matter of trust, shows that you are growing spiritually. Is that clear? And so if someone makes you a staff fellowship coordinator, house fellowship leader, I used to be house fellowship leader for some years. House fellowship leader, that means we used to go to people's houses. I don't know, you have to house fellowship now. You never been to house fellowship before? Go to house fellowship Sunday evening. It seems to be wonderful. Hallelujah. But the moment you just talk about ministry, some people just switch off. They go, And I said yesterday that the information about ministry gift was not given to Titus. It was not given to Timothy. It was to the church. Paul was not reserving it for clergy or for a particular sect. No. The information was to the church. Ephesians, when he was talking about, he gave him some apostles, prophets, and was explaining in 1 Corinthians 12 also. It was to the church. It wasn't a thing that you reserve for some people. And we, over the years, I believe many things have been, over the years, we believe that many things have been misinterpreted. I want to believe that many things have been interpreted. But once you hear ministry, the first thing, if you ask an average pastor, what happened? How? He said, the Lord called me.
Right.
I don't know. That day. It's almost the same story. I don't know. I was not planning. No. Nobody has ever planned before. Me, I was planning. Hallelujah. No, I knew I was going to pastor. It was not shocking at all. At all. Okay, yeah. So, it's the same story. I was not planning it. I don't know, one day, I just go inside Marua, just saw a vision, everything just went black. And I heard that voice, my son, you will preach. Of course, every Christian should preach. I don't know why that now is giving you a ticket to go and open church. Or you know when to preach before? So you need to open a church before you can preach. Ah, if it's like that, we have Pastor Well, Pastor David, Prophet David, have Pastor Deborah. Let us, Deborah's song. Lessons from Deborah's song. They have Pastor Chi. Have Pastor Faith. Sound like Pam. Bro, Pam. Don't call me Pastor. Bro. you feel like a humble. I don't know. Well, a mom. I swear, but, the Lord called me. I was called. It is true that the Lord called me. And I believe that most of those stories must have stemmed from Abraham's call. The Lord told Abraham, get out of your country, out of your land, of your kindred. Genesis 12:1. Also Samuel. Or Moses. Let's go with Moses. Burning bush. And so people felt like you have to have a very spectacular experience to say you want to pastor. And so, you must have this very spectacular experience. We are already entering ministry, it's not small. And so, Moses was like that too. He had a burning bush, he had to see something. Samuel! And of course, that old prophet down there, just say it to that voice. Yeah, I am, send me. He has heard it over and over again. This is what you will say. Ex-soldier of Christ. Uncle Eli. Akabo. The glory has departed. You know, say, just say, yeah, I am, send me. You know, and, you know, we feel like that voice must come. That voice must come. They are not the only ones. David didn't come. You know, something, must just pour oil on something. Even Paul, you know, he had a divinely granted appearance in Acts 9. You know, and so we feel like anyone who must be called into ministry, and we ignore the numerous ones that never had a single spectacular experience. Peter. There was Jesus came to him. Give me your boat. He gave Jesus the boat. He said, okay, I'm done preaching. You know. What happened? Have you caught fish? Yeah. Nothing. He said, throw him. Then he caught fish and said, don't worry. Just gonna eat the fish. I will make you fishers of men. That was the call. And so, sometimes we tend to now look at the spectacular and interpret it as God's call upon a man's life. So the word call is the word Kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. It's actually an active word that requires a response. It's an active word that requires a response. Let's look at the word very well. And by the time we are done looking at it, we'll be able to conclude what the Kaleo is, or what the call of God upon a man's life is. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Let's read verse 37 and 38 together, everybody. Want to go? Now when they heard this, they were praised in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and in what? Verse 39, come on. And unto your children, and to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God. Is this ministry call? When he says the promise is unto you and to your children, as many as the Lord shall call. That as many as the Lord God shall save, right? So Peter is equating salvation to the call of God. Let's start Romans 11. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through unbelief. Again, that shows you what he's talking about. Salvation says believe God and unbelief. So the moment you see believe and unbelief, salvation is in view, right? And so when he says the gifts and calling of God, people use it for ministry. When someone has been called to ministry, has been called. If he likes to be fornicating, Yeah, and he said, the gifts and calling of God are without repair. God cannot take it back. He has called him. Are you whining me? Is it not the same Jesus that told the church in Laodicea, I will come and remove your lampstand? Right? Eh? Ah. Are you, Abi? I will explain that, right? Your works will not count. You take away the pastor. You know? The gifts and calling of God for ministry. I mean, as a minister of the gospel. In fact, that alone is another doctrine. Every believer is the minister of the gospel. We see that. Let's say as a pastor or as a ministry gift, the gift and calling of God are with repentance. You can be removed. Ah. I think someone that used to be a pastor. And in fact, the senior pastor, or called senior pastor, just say, don't do it again. Go and sit down. Personally, I'm someone like that. The fact that they made the pastor, I am misbehaving. I think God has been made pastor once. I'm not embarrassed to go and tell you to sit down. I mean, that's just me. I'm not embarrassed. You know, many people feel like embarrassment. They're not probably I missed the call, something like that. I didn't put it right. Why should I have made the person pastor before? I'll tell you to go and sit down. Judas was chosen by Jesus after 40 days of prayer and fasting. Now you didn't even do 40 days. Hallelujah. So if you mess up, you will know that that's repentance. Hallelujah. Whether it's a cell leader or a fellowship leader, that's very big repentance. But when you say the gift and calling of God, without repentance, that will be what? Salvation. The same person has already told you in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. It's not that the gift is without repentance. You should be able to marry both. Again, we see the call of God as salvation. Second Timothy. Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Again, salvation. Wherewith you are called. 2 Thessalonians 1. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. Unto holiness. God has not called us. Again, that is salvation. We have not been saved to now be living anyhow. We have been saved to live for the Lord, to be separate. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray for always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The calling of God is salvation. Primarily used for salvation. Look at Hebrews 3. Oh, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:9. Verse 8 says, Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with what? With an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is Ephesians 2:8. Eh? Alright. He has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of what? Of the heavenly calling. Alright. So, when you look at calling in the epistles, it's not used for that spooky experience of I saw bush, I heard one voice. Actually, primarily used for salvation. Again, Paul actually doesn't paint calling as spectacular in the epistles. He relates ministry. The way Paul relates ministry is to maturity, not to one call. What we call the call of God today is actually maturity in the work of ministry. Sometimes I myself can say, especially those if you are called into the ministry. Sometimes I use it just for understanding purpose. I'm talking to a large number of people. I give a general instruction. I say, but especially if you are called into the ministry, which is actually every believer. But just to drive home the point of ministry gifts, exactly. But what we call the call of God upon a man's life is actually maturity in the work of ministry. Is it making sense? But if you say, who is called of God? Eh? Answer the question. Who is called? Every believer. Every believer. So all believers are called of God. Galatians 1. Let's see. Galatians 1. Verse 15. Say, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He called me by his grace. Galatians 1, 15. Again, it's used for salvation. Moment we say, a man of God. Man of God. Exactly, that's what the believer is. Every believer is a man of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scriptures given inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished of every good work. That man of God is actually every believer, the man from God, Theos Anthropos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, the man of God, you know, our man of God. I tell everybody, all of us are our man of God. Everybody is a man of God. Everybody is called of God. Can we say that together? Everybody. He's a man of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, man of God. No, you actually say man of God. Intentionally. Say man of God. Yes, exactly. You know, so, then a phrase came up later. We say ministers. When someone is between a bread and a pastor. He's not a pastor yet, but it's not our level. So when I say minister, he's actually very funny to me. The minister Pam. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know which ministry gives his minister again. Minister of what? Petroleum. Again, minister, we believe, is the minister of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to which God was in Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So all believers are called of God. Then why did Jesus now appear to Paul? Does that appear to be, at least that's more recent. Obviously, you observe that, who else would have appeared to Paul? Anybody that could have preached to him again would have been killed. Peter, the most daring of them, fled at the sight of Paul. I mean, you hear Paul and you leave the town. You hear that Paul is a beggar and you are going through Badagry already. You know, that's how, fearful he was. The most that Ananias was reporting to Jesus, Jesus, maybe you have not heard the Jesus. This man, just I know. That's why I went to appear to him. It appears like, even for everybody actually had a call like that. Moses. Who else would have told Moses to go to Egypt? Be sincere. Who else? Jethro? Can be. Who else? Aaron? Oh. So oftentimes it's used for people, that spectacular thing for people who will not hear any other person. Who would tell Moses? So that his own exodus was by killing someone. You know, it has to be God. Just like Paul, it has to be God. Peter, everybody that could have talked to him, that understood ministry, he was killing them. So who else would talk to him? He needed that appearance. Hallelujah. And of course, he sees that experience and says, what would you have me do? Exactly the way God planned it out. What would you have me do? Say, okay, now you're talking. I'll have you do something. You will not kill those people again. You will not be one of them. Is it making sense? So I can 100% submit, 100% that it was because the persecution had to stop, and God, Jesus himself had to do that. Again, look at the way Paul was now really, really, really called in Acts 13. Look at Acts 13. Verse 1. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Aaron, etc., and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost what? The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me what? Barnabas and Paul. There's nothing spooky about this one. Someone said, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, it's men that actually said it. By saying the Holy Ghost says, it's actually men. It's like having a believer's meeting. And then the utterance, you know, says, that's the Holy Ghost. How would I know? Verse 3 and 4 explains. Oh yeah. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid what? They laid their hands on them and sent them away. Verse 4. Can we verse 4 together? So they being sent forth, who sent them away? In verse 3, the church. Now said, verse 1 says, that was by the Holy Ghost. Is it making sense? The Holy Ghost was beating him at the back of the head and said, yeah, be going. No, no. It's actually when he say, when men act according to the word, then that's the Holy Ghost doing it. So the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul, and you now look at his real call. So that Acts 9 call did not make Paul now start a church. Right? There was a call, there was an instruction by his church. And then that gave him the due license. Is it making sense? Right. So it was not his vision that made it authentic, like we have around today. You have not seen any vision. One Baba that is leading you through the bush. I just slept that night and I saw myself in the stadium. The truth is, listen. There's no serious Christian that has not seen himself in the stadium before preaching. If you have not, that means you don't have ministry at heart. Everybody that has ministry at heart, as a preacher, because you would have seen yourself in the stadium preaching to crowds. How many of you have seen that before? It's normal. Everybody has seen that vision, that open church. We have glorious house church. Because the church is so much that you can't name glorious. Glorious is done. Faith clinic church. Then you have faith church clinic. They'll be different because we are so much. Everybody has seen it. You see yourself in the stadium. Many heads, right? And then you are laying hands with big sticker at your back. And one big banner. And they brought the cripple. We all know it. And then you now hear people say, you preach to many. It's true. Are you not preaching to many every Saturday? Yeah, you preach to many. Many will be saved. You don't need a microphone for many to be saved. Right? And when you're going for a teacher, you always keep microphone in your bag. Dan, when I'm going back, you have microphone in your bag. You have bring for speaker. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Now come on, teachers. You don't need that for men to be saved. Hallelujah. And so we look at the call. Again, a vision does not authenticate it. It was the approval of the local church that made it valid. Look at Philip and Stephen. In the book of Acts, there was nothing spectacular about their calling, save that ends were laid. That was the spectacular thing. Acts 6:6, the apostles in verse 3-4 says, we cannot leave the ministry of the word to serve tables, right? That is, but what? Choose among yourself. Go and look among yourself. And choose 7 men full of Holy Ghost, of honest report. And it says, you now put them in charge. And you know, we now had Philip, Stephen, among many others, among the 7. Again, there was nothing spectacular about that. Acts 6:6. Same with Judas and Silas. Judas, that's Jude. When you say Jude, Jude is Judas. Actually, same thing. So Judas and Silas, hands were laid on them. Also, for ministry, Acts 15:32. Nothing spectacular. They didn't see any vision. They didn't hear anything. Silas, nothing. Hands were just laid and then he followed Paul. Stephanie, if you need to see something and see one masquerade chasing you and say, you will preach. And funny thing is that the first thing that they are doing is that you are starting to look for venue. How can you want to pioneer a work and the first thing you are doing is designing flyer? I mean, who does that? Now open. Like KFC. Now open. You have to leave space for venue because you have not found venue. You know? That can't be the first thing. Of course, you need a venue, so at least, but it's your city room, if it's anywhere. That should not hinder the work, right? But because, many times, what you see in your dream is actually the voice of ambition. The voice of, I want to be. I want you to call me man of God. But you're already a man of God. Hallelujah. Right? I want you to call me a minister of the gospel. But you're already one, right? Right? Every believer is, right? I want them to call me. And they see me, everybody just be, you know, some people, what the reason why they will pastor, I'm not speaking for anyone. But many people really, I don't know about many, but some, the reason why they are going to pastor is that, so that one day when they are just going on the street, someone just say, Pastor, Dabiaka, oh well. Yes. You have been a blessing, such a blessing. I celebrate you, sir. I celebrate you, sir. Wow. Wow. No one bless me like you do. No one bless me like you do. No one bless me like you. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not us. It's not us. It's not us. Who is it? It's just the power of God that's working us. Which of our branches do you attend? Say, ah, sir, I'm a faithful member. Oh, is it branch at the Berekodo? Okay, Berekodo. Right. Who's your pastor again? You have played that in your head so much. And as you are playing it, someone just called you from your church. Hello? Hello, my wife? Go and buy prayer for generator. You're not praying for generator. Me, that I just dreamt that I had members all around the country. And so you start preparing your resignation letter. And so funny enough, on the Sunday, you just ask for the discipleship chat. Ah, me, that I should be collecting discipleship from that brother in Iberokudu. Iberokudu has got married now. Alright, again. There's no spectacularity. You don't, if you see dream, and that's what made you start ministry. You need to backfire again. You need to go back. Again, Timothy also, who was well commended by Paul for his faithfulness in ministry and well acknowledged. How did he get into ministry? Hence we're late. 2 Timothy 1:6. Don't forget, stir up the gifts that was given to you by the laymen or the elders. So, visions are actually insufficient. Visions are insufficient. Words, the authority in the local church, that's the real deal for dedicating anyone into ministry. In fact, if you are seeing Jesus, it's not the ticket. It's not the ticket to spiritual growth. In Acts 16 verse 1 to 2, Timothy was well spoken of, yet he didn't see any vision. Acts 16 1 to 2, Timothy was well spoken of, yet he didn't see any vision. So spectacular experiences don't validate any ministry. I'll say it again. Spectacular experiences don't validate any ministry. Don't get carried away by supernatural sightings of a man that doesn't come for prayer meetings. Alright, so again, don't get carried away by supernatural sightings. In the body of Christ, your authority is the authority of the world, not visions. So when we say called of God, that's every believer, right? What about minister of God? Eh? Every believer, thank you. In that phrase, that place is actually used for every believer. Every believer is a minister of Christ. Man of God, think of James 1:18. We are all begotten of the word. Right? We are all men from God. So every believer is called of God. That is the church. Kalio. Because by any moment mentioned call, you are not talking about the pastors or the apostles. Actually talking about the church. So everybody is called of God. And we said that coming with the identification will also be what? So we said coming with the identification of the church will also be service in the temple. Service in the temple. We saw that yesterday in John 1, 14 to 16. So now that we are a new creature in Christ, we are now called out to preach. We are called out to preach. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19. Ephesians 2, 8. By grace are you saved, not of your works. It is the gift, not that is any man's boast, it's the gift of God, right? Right? Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, right? Created in Christ unto what? Unto good works. Exactly that was the prophecy of the prophets. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, a new heart and a new spirit will I give to you, I will take away the stony out of flesh. Then that says, after that identification, that says, I will make you walk in my statutes and in my judgments. Again, there's service implied. There's something to do. Joel was a bit more about what we would do because of the Spirit. Joel 2:28, and it's come to pass in those days. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. It's your young men that will see visions in you. Your young men are prophesied, right? Your young men will see visions. Even your old men will dream dreams. Then he says, in verse 29, even upon the servants and the house maidens will I pour out of my spirit. And they also prophesy. Hallelujah. You find that in Acts 2, 17 to 18. We'll explain that later. So, the Holy Ghost is for utterance. Look at that. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. The Holy Ghost is for utterance, and that utterance is for ministry. We see that as we go, just go on. Again, the moment you mention the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of God for ministry. Luke helped us understand that in Luke 24, when he said, Jesus, thou told them in verse 49, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem, till you be endued with what? With power from on high, right? So you tarry, and so he's telling them that you will not be able to go out and preach, right? When you go to Matthew 16, 15, go and preach. But they will do that, they will first tarry. And so, the Holy Ghost will be for to them for ministry. Acts 1:8. You receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you be my witnesses. Again, that means the Holy Ghost is for witnessing. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Yes, sir. You'll be my witnesses. But you won't be my witnesses without the Holy Ghost. No. Until you receive the power, the utterance from on high, you now be my witness. And so, the Spirit of God is for ministry. Is for ministry. And that ministry is a message. 2 Corinthians 5:19. He has committed to our ends the message of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Another version would say the word of reconciliation. And so, the ministry, listen very well. The ministry in Christ is a message. Can we say that together? Want to go? The ministry in Christ. Let me hear you now. The ministry in Christ is a message. Yeah, exactly. It's a message. Because you find people say, I have ministry of singing. Say, what's your, how's ministry? We even just came back from one praise night. You are going on praise night, praise morning, praise afternoon, praise midnight, praise evening. Something shared. You are just coming from one praise night. Say, hey, well, how is ministry? Like you are saying this, so you say, when I sing, when I sing, the Spirit comes down on the pastor. And so, any soul that he wins that day, we won it together. The devil is using your life to play chess. You can't have the ministry of singing. The ministry is a message of reconciliation. Hallelujah. It's a kerusso. A kerygma. Hallelujah. The ministry is specific. It's not drama. It's not drama. So what do I have with drama, really? Nothing. I've acted drama very well. Very, very well. Both the one that you, the choreography one, I mean the one, I remember we did one, Mercy Said No. Mercy said no. I'm gonna let... And Jesus was pulling me. You know? I've acted drama. I've written drama before. Like, you act. But I believe that reality should not be turned into fiction. I want to believe strongly in that. The time you used to act drama, that used to preach. Sometimes it's not like parable. No, it's not like parable. You know it. Did you see the seed and the sower? So I think the seed and the sower on the stage. No, it's not parable. The time that you are using to rehearse and to act it. You know how many souls you have won? Hallelujah. Eh? Aha. That's a lazy man's ministry. And it's no ministry at all. The ministry is specific. Again, it will be our identification. It will be the same thing. We must be identified with the same message. You are not called to the engineers. Say, I have a ministry to the world of engineering. So what will you now do? We will take over Christ there. Take over. Nobody says when they hear take over. We take charge. I'm in charge. Man of fire. Yeah. I'm in charge. You know? Baba has carried over. He's in charge, he's in charge, he's in charge. Of course, F. How about Pastor Chooks? Jesus is glorified, Jesus is glorified. After the morning. Baba has carried it with his charge. Hallelujah. Yeah? You are not called to the world of engineering to take over. You are called to preach the gospel. You don't have the ministry of marriage. I thought there was a time I said I had the ministry of teaching the marriage or something like that. And truly, I actually can. I have some words. I have a play. I have a play around it. Relationships, really. I have what I can say and, you know. But you must be cautious. Don't turn your talent to ministry. Hallelujah. Because you can write suddenly now. You should have a Bible version. Just because you write blogs. On Google, okay. You now pick for Corinthians. I don't like the way Paul wrote it. I believe 1 Corinthians 1:1 should have started with, now concerning spiritual gifts. Calm down. You don't talk talent to ministry. It's a keruso. When you say preach. Preach. That word preach is the word keruso. It means to announce a news. It's used for it's an old word for town criers. Town criers. You know, at least when I announced the news before, I said, the Minister of Petroleum said, fuel will now be sold for 165 naira in all outlets all around the country. And the news person said, but what's that? You know, imagine, and I said, fuel will be sold for 165 naira. I said, but I don't think I believe you. While on air, I don't succumb to that though. I don't succumb to that though. I think this minister is just saying rubbish. But let's continue. That would be the last time you see the person on air. Hallelujah. Because announcing the news is you will say what you are told to say. When you say keruso, when you say preach, preach means you'll be given what to say. You will bear witness exactly to say what you are told to say. I don't agree with that. Think that. You don't think in a keruso. So we don't have the license to revamp the gospel. We don't have the license to revamp the message. Again, where are we coming from? We said the Spirit is for that ministry, right? Right? Again, who has that ministry? Every believer, thank you. And the reason why every believer has that ministry is because every believer has the Spirit. And the Spirit is for witness. He said, keruso is what we do. We preach the message the way it is. God's offer of help, right? And hope to a dying world. Jesus' son, the ransom for sins, eternal life to the man that will trust in the Lord. Simple. God's offer of hope and help to a dying world. Jesus' son, the sacrifice, the ransom, and eternal life to the one that trusts. So keruso, is that's just it, simple. Again, in a keruso, you can't say agree or disagree. You know, I don't agree. You don't have the right to agree or disagree with the scriptures. The scriptures are not for your argument. But I don't agree. Sorry, who are you? It's a news. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, but while I was studying, listen, this one is so true. The Holy Ghost just, I don't know. There's no way we talk. That's very charismatic, and I love it. I love it when you're charismatic. The Holy Ghost just showed me this verse. If one of us tell you what the Holy Ghost has shown us before, brother, many things that the Holy Ghost has shown you before. I know, brother. I know that you are. Shall I on another level? No, I can say, come and saw. This is in the past. It's a faith thing. We are not seeing it. What the Lord has done. We saw it. Alright, so, again, if everybody comes with their own line of the Holy Ghost, the Bible has been torn into pieces. So, see, the power, upa balon megatos. That power, the Holy Ghost of Samuel is just like electricity. That's why people fall under the power. You just put three things together, or the DJ. DJ Pam. Let's put three things together that seem to fit each other. Say, you know, have you seen people fall under the power before? It's because that power that we have in Christ is like electricity. You can say, I think I agree. It's not for your agreement or not. It's a message. Can we show? It means what it means. Hallelujah. So that Holy Ghost said line, you can't use it. No. In Bible study, I don't even succumb to study. The Holy Ghost is already at work in you. And so, study what the Holy Ghost wrote. Everything that you wrote there. Eh? Have you seen the way we explain scriptures here? Have you? Right? You see that we look at it in context. I'll still explain one today. When we get to the issue of should a woman preach or not. For a lazy Bible student. Holy Ghost test is a ticket for a lazy Bible student. Study it. The answer to the Pauline revelation is the Pauline epistle. Okay. Ah, it's because I prayed for the eyes of my understanding. You are now seeing Irikuri. The answer to that Pauline prayer. I say, my eyes of understanding is Pauline epistle. Pauline epistles answers the Pauline prayers. If you like, pray Ephesians 1:19-23. Philippians 1:9-11. Colossians 1:9-11. Abi? Eh? When you are done praying it, don't read Ephesians. Don't read Colossians. Error is what you will bring to the table. Hallelujah. And so that Holy Ghost said line. You see some people come to me for counseling. They say, I want to marry pastor. I don't know, myself and sister, so. I don't know. Sometimes I say, welcome back to the church. She's the first person you want to welcome. Welcome, sis. Tell people you love them. You left your sis. You left the back. You got to tell someone. But Shola has decided you did not take it. And then I come and say, I don't know, but. I just said I should tell you. But the Holy Ghost has already. So why you go on Shola and ask it? The Holy Ghost has told you something. Hey, but say your own. The Holy Ghost has said, I say my own. I like over here. Go ahead. Marry what you want. Hallelujah. You don't use the Holy Ghost yet. You know the Holy Ghost, especially for those who you know also have the Holy Ghost. Let them be the ones to tell you this is what the Holy Ghost said. Sometimes it's because of your desires. You know? So Holy Ghost, many different Holy Ghosts are just talking to you. One is let them be every Holy Ghost. Just alright, so preaching and teaching is the ministry we have in Christ, and that's what is implied in joyous prophecy as. In joyous prophecy as prophecy. He says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy a day or trance. Preaching and teaching is in view. Preaching and teaching is in view. And so the moment you say tongues, interpretation, what that should point you to is the message of the gospel. If healing is pointing to the forgiveness of sin, and the raising of the dead is pointing to the redemption of our body, right? Then utterance, tongues, interpretation is pointing to the gospel. Hallelujah. I just say that as a side note, that's not a doctrine. Again, in the spirit, we have the capacity for ministry. The capacity for ministry. Ministry of reconciliation, no, not singing. Nobody has ministry of singing. Or technical. What's your ministry? I'm a technical team. No. 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 Our ministry is the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alright. So, again, we have the message of reconciliation, logon. It's used for preaching and teaching. The ministry, diakonia, that service. The ministry in Christ. So, the word ministers of God being used for pastors is actually, it is stemmed out of a political dichotomy, as it were. It should not be. It's what imagine when the state and the church now mix together. You know? The mixture of the state and the church is what now brought about clergy and laity disparity. Where you now have extreme, how do I put it now? Segregation between a clergy and a laity. We all have the Spirit of God. We all are ministers of God. We all are men of God. And we all are called of God. Is that clear? And so, that clergy-laity relationship should be, again, preaching is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 4, 2 to 4. I, brethren, when I came among you, I came not with the excellency of man's wisdom, right? Not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but it just teaches.
That is again demonstrating the demonstration of the spirit and of power. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My words and teachings, my preaching and teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power. So he calls the preaching of the gospel the demonstration of the spirit again. So we have established that go to Joel 2:28. Let's look at that. So we are in the main teaching for today. Can we Joel 2:28-29 together? Everybody wants to go? And shall come to pass after one, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon your servants and upon Adni, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Again, look at verse 28, it says, they'll prophesy, again, prophesy will recover, utterance gifts, while, they will see visions over the, revelation gift. Again, your young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, it's the same thing. Someone has said, young men, they will see vision, old men, if they even see have dreams. The dream and the vision just refer to sight, supernatural sight. But, look at that verse 29, it said, upon your servants, also upon the servants and the handmaids in those days will I pour my spirit. And we'll have thought that in a casual reading, we have thought that the servants and the handmaids are like houseboy, driver, right? House help. I mean, those are the servants and houseboy, but Peter explains Joel. Acts 2. Again, the beauty of the New Testament. Peter now explains Joel very well to us. Acts 2. Verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. Again, the days of the fulfillment of promise. Last days. Remember last days? Alright. Said God, I will pour out of, it started the definition like that. Out of that is the what you will see. The prophecy, the visions, right? Will be an out of. It is not the spirit, because there's already an indwelling of the spirit. So what you are saying is the spirit upon. Does that make sense? That makes sense. I will pour out of my spirit. That is, you already have in Ezekiel 36, that's Ezekiel's prophecy. But what you now see in Joel's prophecy is that upon, the spirit upon. It will be the activity of the spirit within. So, Joel did not put out, or Joel says, I will pour out my spirit. As though, the primary journey of the spirit is upon us. But Peter now is saying that you know it's not you pour out his spirit, you pour out of the spirit. That is, because of the spirit, we will now have prophecy. Because of the spirit, we will now have visions. Does it make sense? So I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Can we verse 18 together? And all my stop there. So again, Joel did not put mine. Joel was upon the servant. We would have thought that it was our boy until Joel is that Peter is not explaining to us that it's actually God's servant. Is it making sense? Upon my servant and my handmaid. So that would refer to ministry gifts, right? Right? My servant and my so right in the prophecy of Joel, he had ministry gifts in mind. Look at the way he put it. He used the gift of the Spirit, then now put ministry gifts. Again, nobody should be called into ministry just based because you can talk. Someone said, pastor, because you say, I know how to address public. That's not the reason why you be pastor, you know. Hallelujah. Say, I can, the way I talk, I don't know, I captivate my audience, so we should give you mic to preach. No. The ministry is an offshoot of the gift of the Spirit. Because we see visions, because we prophesy, we now are servants. Because it is out of his spirit. And that's why the requirement for Acts 6 was that they will be full of the Holy Ghost. Seven men among you who are full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, so that means the Holy Ghost will be for ministry. Like we said earlier. The Holy Ghost will be for ministry. So I'll pour out of you my servant and of my servant. The word servant is the word dolos. D-O-U-L-O-S. Often that is masculine. Then on my handmaids, Dole. D-O-U-L-E. Feminine.
So, one again. Again, just like everyone thought, in the Ecclesia, after we identified in and by the Spirit, we now have son and daughters, right? But apart from the son and daughters, we now have what? The servants and the handmaids. They are also sons and daughters, right? But delegated authority. Can you imagine that's how every prophet taught it? Right? Right? Come on. Is that how Jesus taught it? I'll build my church, then those two shall after, and I say, they will be elders of the church. James will say, we are all born of God. Right? James 1:18. In chapter 5 verse 14, and I say, if anybody has anything, go and tell it to the elders. Is it making sense? So, he identifies all of us as born of the word, but he now says they are elders. That's what Joel is doing. He says, all of us are sons and daughters, who will prophesy. But there will be delegated authorities, which we call the servant and the handmaids. But something that is vital, listen very well. Come back to what I said here. We solve an age-long question. Should women be in ministry? Yes. We just saw handmaids. Donate. Purely feminine. Again, ministry is to everyone. Many have thought that women cannot be given the work of preaching. And so, of course, we can't teach ministry gifts in the church without solving that riddle. Again, that's a very, very wrong pattern. Thought pattern, rather. To think that women cannot be given the work of preaching. Why should they not? Eh? You think people are given the work of preaching because they have beards and thick voice? Is thick voice and beard the requirement for preaching? So why should women not be given the work of preaching? Hallelujah! Eh? Come on. Is it beard that minister the spirit? Beard. Beard gang. Eh? Come on. Alright. So Jesus prophecy again strengthens the fact that women can be in ministry. Upon my servant and my handmaids. So ministry is for everyone who has the spirit. We have said that earlier, right? Whether man or woman, boy or girl. Women are not in the church so that they can marry. And then help the younger sisters to marry. That was, so most women always do. Mommy Gio, marriage ministry. They are not advising all the young ladies in church. How far? Are they not calling you? It's not that they are calling me. Mommy ma, I'm just being careful. When was your age in Shongote? When was your age? It was like that. Eh? If you close eyes and wait for the bad person to go, the good person too will pass. The night of a woman easily comes. I don't know how to put that, is it? That's the ministry that some women have now positioned themselves in the church as. Children's church. You now get to a night, you now go to children's church. Children, tell me what you have. I have joy, 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 joy in the Lord, joy everlasting forever. Tell me what you are. Mommy Gio, is that your ministry? and then after this, he said, maybe women should not be given the work of preaching. And we'll look at the surrounding verses that can pose a threat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? But ministry is for everyone. It's for everyone. Women can pastor. They can raise disciples. Women can be apostles. Oftentimes, the word apostle even appear masculine because of the way we have painted it. Have you ever seen a female apostle before? I mean, in this world, though, in this generation. Eh? Someone that they call apostle and is female. But that's wrong, man. That's a wrong mentality. A woman can be an apostle. A woman can be a prophet. An evangelist. Again, ministry is for everyone who has the spirit. In the epistles, there are women in ministry. Let's look at them. There are women in ministry. 1 Corinthians 1. You there? Verse 11. We just really run through most of them. Want to go? For it has been declared to me of you, my brethren, of them which are what? Of the house of Chloe. And that there are contentions among you. Of the house of Chloe. Chloe is the woman that worked with Paul. History has it that
there was a church in her house, and she gives reports to Paul. You know, just the way you said your cell reports and all. So she'll be a close associate of Paul. And that's a woman, no? Glory. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Women in ministry. No. Verse 19. Sorry. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. With the church that is in their house. Again, Priscilla is not a woman you can use your hand to do like this in ministry. We see that. Quite a whole lot of mention. Almost 16 mentions about. No, 6 mentions. From by different people and different places. In Book of Acts, so, Romans, so, 1 Corinthians, so, you know. She's a prominent person. And oftentimes she always comes before her husband, Priscilla and Aquila. Or Aquila and Priscilla. History has it that she actually, was more involved in church work than, her husband. But that's not doctrinal, so. But the concept is that she was mentioned. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Aquila, Aquila and Priscilla, rather. Romans 16. We find a lot of them in Romans 16. Romans 16 was Paul's letter of, Paul's chapter of salutation. Romans 16 verse 1. I commend unto you, what? Phoebe, our sister, which is what? A servant. What servant there is what? Diakonos? D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. What you call deacon. There's no word like deaconess in the early church. Deacon is deacon. I don't know where we got deaconess, deaconess. Hey, deaconess, Judith. Judith, ma'am. Deaconess, deaconess. And when you say deacon, we see that as we move on. Deacon actually those who take care of natural duties. A deacon does not have the obligation to preach in the church. Mm-mm. Deacon is those who serve with natural things. What Brother Pam does is a deacon, if you look at it very well. Deacon. You know? Those who serve with natural things. Those who can, of course, is a ministry that is used to test someone for a pastor. I mean, if someone is faithful with the natural things, you see that as we move on. Paul's requirement for being a pastor. They are not spooky, it's not vision. You must have been tested with natural things. If you can take care of natural things, then you'll be able to take care of people. If you can't take care of natural things, you can't send your reports early. How are you sure that you'll be able to take care of people? Because pastoring is way more critical than that. You get called in the midnight. Your life is basically for others. Hallelujah. And so he calls this woman a deacon. Phoebe, our sister. She's a deacon in the church. Verse 3, 16:3. Can you see Priscilla again? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Oftentimes she gets called before her husband. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. So they were quite close to Paul. My helpers in Christ. Look at verse 4. This is what Paul described here. Who have for my life? What? They laid down their necks. Now, these are people you want in the ministry. These are people that every pastor wants, actually. You know, it makes the work go well. It makes you want to preach more. He said, they have laid down their necks for my life, unto whom not I only give thanks, but also to the churches of the Gentiles. Obviously, they were fellow workers with Paul. 16 verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. That is, she worked very hard for you. She bestowed much labor on us. Of course, when Paul says labor, you should know Paul is not talking about cooking. Abi? Is that simple that I'll say in 1 Timothy 5:17? Especially those who labor over you in what? In word and doctrine. So that's the real labor. We look at that. 2 Timothy 2:15. Abi? Where he said a workman. And we look at that workman is actually a laborer. Abi? And so when Paul says Romans 16:6 now, Mary who labors so much, you know that will be in teaching and preaching. Alright, let's go. 16 verse 7. Salute Andronikos and Junia. The word Junia, the woman Junia. And Junia, my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Can you see? A woman is called an apostle. Junia. They are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. She's standing among the apostles. Romans 16:12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord
Israelites, that they must have been twin sisters, because when you have children like that have similar names in their root or in the original language, their name have a similar root. So Tryphena, Tryphosa. You can go and name your children that instead of thank God and praise God. Hallelujah. So he says, salute them. Salute Tryphena, Tryphosa. In that same verse, he now says, salute the beloved Persis, also a woman, Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. I see. No, don't just salute Rufus. His mother also is involved in ministry, the mother of Rufus. And Paul calls her his own mother too. Verse 15. Salute Philologos. That's not a woman, but Julia is a woman. Julia. That's the woman there. Salute Julia. And Nereus and his sister. Philologos is the man. Salute Julia, Nereus, the sister of Nereus also. The sister of Nereus. Also salute Olympus. Verse 15. Olympus is also a woman. Philippians 4. We are looking at the women in ministry. So if you say a woman cannot be given the work of preaching, we have quite a lot of them, really. Philippians 4, verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. Where's your Syntyche? Syntyche? Syntyche. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Again, these were women. They were co-workers. Verse 3 says, and I entreat thee also, you true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Can you see? So there were women who labored with Paul. Philippians 4:3, in the gospel. Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. The issue is that Nymphas actually has a wife that was helping out. Okay? That's just historical. Philemon 1:2. And to our beloved Apphia. Actually, Apphia is a woman. And Archippus, our fellow soldier. Maybe they are husband and wife. We can't know. But we know Apphia is a woman. And Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Apphia. 2 Timothy 4. Learn something. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 19. Salute Prisca. Actually, that was Priscilla. And Aquila, again mentioned before, our husband. Guys, what's happening? Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Again, we have Priscilla here. Verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Elbulus greet you. Elbulus is a man. And Podins and Linus. Linus is actually a man. Podins is a man. But Claudia is a woman. And all the brethren. Claudia is a woman. You have another woman there. 2 John 1. So, can you see that Paul had close associates with him in ministry who are women? And they were not women because they were cooking for church. It's not a... You don't have to find buff puff. No, they are women. That's their job in church. Children's Day. You don't have to be at the back of the church. Find buff puff. That's what you came to this. That's your ministry. Find buff puff at the back of the church. Mommy, did you ever taste here? Our children will enjoy it. It's the happy hour already. Officially, we are commending Aquila and Priscilla. Women, Priscilla called Apollos aside. Apollos is the best that Paul will call a fellow worker. He said, I have planted. Apollos has watered. He's the one doing discipleship for. Priscilla took Apollos aside like this and went to teach it. He now taught him the scriptures. She now taught him the scriptures. And you are frying for puff. Say, ministry, and you can't tell you have preach. Who are your daddy? Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy that is preaching about? You preach. Every man who has the spirit of God can preach the gospel. Hallelujah. 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Can you see?
So John is the elder. He's saying, I'm talking to the elect lady. A whole letter, a whole epistle was written to a woman and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also they that have known the truth. Verse 4 says, I greatly rejoice that I found that your children are walking in the truth as you have received commandments from the Father. The children can be anything. It can be our physical children, biological children rather, or our children in the faith. So that's not uncommon to see in the epistle. Look at the book of Acts. In Acts 1, women were part of those who were praying in the upper room. Acts 1. So when people say women should keep quiet in the church or something, just for that. Are we reading the same Bible? Even in the Old Testament, Deborah was a loud prophet. I mean, a prophet, even the male prophet respected. Someone wrote on Twitter, the Bible has 66 books, and they didn't give measure, no woman was even allowed to talk. I said, you see this one. So the book, Ruth is transgender. Abesta is transgender. Or Deborah. Aquila and Priscilla. Those ones. They are not women, no. They are ghosts. When last did you even read your Bible? Twitter warrior. I can't see it there. They'll blast. Acts 1. Okay. Okay. Verse 13 says, when they were coming, they went into the upper room where they are both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelote, and Judas, the brother of James. This all continued one accord in prayer with the women, guys, with the women, verse 14, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They continued with the women. So, women were not, left behind. I said, no, you can't speak in tongues now. Let us first. The men of the house, let us all speak in tongues. No. Women spoke in tongues. In Acts 12, verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathering together, where many were gathered together praying. Alright, so that's the house of Mary. Of course, that's John Mark's mother. I bet that everybody's mother was just Mary. Acts 18, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Now that's Apollos. And verse 24 says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He's mighty in the scriptures. He's eloquent, not just eloquent. So eloquent means he can talk. He knows how to talk. He's now mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the Spirit. He was being fervent in the Spirit. He spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26. And began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had ate, they took him to them, right? They took him aside and what? Expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. Imagine, someone who is mighty in the scriptures there. A woman is now expanding on seeing the way of the Lord more perfectly. And so that means you can't zero out women in the teaching ministry. So men and women have the same Bible, the same God. There's no gender to ministry. In the first century church, women as well as men, were leaders. Women as well as men were leaders. The Great Commission was given to everyone, regardless of the gender. Regardless of the gender, the Great Commission was given to everyone. Now, there are some verses that we will need to explain. Because the moment you now say all of this and you point out the women, there's a major verse that will pose a bottleneck. It will be the bone in the throat of the dog. 1 Corinthians 14. And imagine that it's Paul's letter. And so, that alone should have been, what should that even teach us? Eh? What you are saying in Paul said, that means it is an interpretation. Because Paul had women that worked with him in ministry. He had women who were laborers. Abi? So Paul cannot be the one now zeroing women. Verse 34. Can we verse 34 and 35 together? One to go. First Corinthians 14. One to go. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shame for a woman to speak in the church. Ha! I will soon be lying. It can't be Paul saying this. I beg to differ. Again, this took me a while. I was patient. I was patient with it. Because I had to read through all of Paul's letter. I mean, every single one. So that I can know his line of thought. And of course, that's what really made me appreciate the Paul line better. But let's see what he's saying. Why would they keep silent? Silence? So let your women keep silence in the churches. You can't keep silence now. Why? Because verse 23, that same chapter. Verse 23 says, can we verse 23 together, everybody? Want to go? If therefore the whole church comes together in one place, and what? Let me stop. All! Would I include the women? Eh? He said, would I include the women? All will speak in tongues. Right? So that means they are not keeping quiet. Verse 24. But if all prophesy, again all. Verse 26. How is them brethren? When you come together, every one of you have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation. Let us be done. Every one of you. It's not gender specific. Every one of you have. Verse 39 says, wherefore brethren, compared to prophesy, don't forbid to speak with tongues. And so that means the women were talking. So we need to look at that word silence. Will it be the silence in verse 28? If there be no interpreter, it says, if someone is speaking in tongues, let him speak by two or three. And by that cause, let one interpret. We explain that, right? That is, you speak by tongues, interpretation, right? That's the two. Then three can be word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, prophecy, anyhow. If there be no interpreter, let him what? Let him keep silence in the church and let him speak unto himself. Again, that silence will be relative because they let him speak unto himself. So he's not keeping silent. So silence will be silent to the church, right? So I'm just saying, I want to explore, I want to take you through the journey. My journey. Okay. Will the silence now be, because he said, let him speak to himself, but let him keep silent. So that silence will be silence of the church, or he's loud to himself. Right? That is because you are not edifying the church. So what you will do is that you will do what you have done in your room. You speak to yourself. Right? Okay. Why did he say that? Because you want to interpret. So if you are not interpreting, then you of course talk to yourself. But why would you tell the woman to talk to herself? If that is it, why would you tell the woman to talk to herself? Let your woman keep silence in the church, or in the churches. Verse 34 again. That is, you can maybe remove that they are commanded. I don't think it's needed, but let's leave it here. The cocoa is, For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but to be under obedience, as also saith the law. I would say that this is talking about submission. Now that would be a flip to it. That is talking about submission because it says they are not to talk, but to be under obedience has also said the law. Why? Because this is not the first time Paul is actually saying in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, be followers of me as I'm also a follower of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances and deliver them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. When it's the moment you say head, that's authority. The authority of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, is not his head. That's why it says, but every man that prays and prophesies, that means the woman can pray and prophesy. Right? Okay. With her head covered. For that is even all in which you are shaven. all one as if she were shaven. For the woman, for if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. For if it be a shame for the woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Again, what Paul will be saying here is cultural, is purely cultural. You find that in verse 16. That says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And so, what he's teaching is a custom. Sunetia, in the Greek, is teaching a custom. What's a custom? What is popularly believed in a particular place? Is that clear? For example, in the Yoruba land, Yoruba is the tribe in Nigeria, the woman greets her husband, right? Right? I mean, she kneels down, greets her husband. It's just cultural. Other cultures might have it. I don't know if Igbo has. I know the Fulanese, they cover themselves. Actually, I said the Fulanese, the Arabs, they cover themselves. Why the woman is actually covering her face and everything? It's not just mere religion, it's actually a husband. For a husband. So, it's only a husband that can see her hand. If they are inside, they take it away. The veil is off. They take away the veil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when Moses is red, sounds like that. They take away the veil. If you are with your husband, they take away the veil. Your husband has the right to see the face, the hand, the legs, but you don't have. It's a cultural thing. You don't have to bring that to your husband and you don't marry your wife to the auntie. Auntie, this is your wedding gift. Say, what is that? I can see black all over. Cover this thing. Cover what? Miss Lee Mama. You know, it's a cultural thing. If she was Arabian, probably she would have learned that, right? Because it's cultural. So, when it says covering of the head, it's actually cultural. Cultural, and that's the way they submit to their husband in Corinth. Your submission to your husband as a Corinthian is saying that you cover your head. And that's why he has to mention head, authority first. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Because Paul actually taught, listen, he taught submission to your husband in all other churches. And he didn't mention scalp. Look at the Ephesians 5. And he didn't mention scalp. Ephesians 5 verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the Lord. Then he now starts explaining that Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. If as the church is subject to Christ, wives also be subject to your own husband in everything. Verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, having no spot. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverences her husband. Again, in the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, right, Paul taught submission. But did you see scalp? Did you see head, anything? No. Right? Right? So that means the focus of that 1 Corinthians 11 will just be submit yourself to your husband. How about that? Just submission. Again, the feminist has no role in the Bible. It sounds modern, it sounds woke, it sounds nice. But the feminist, I saw a post online here, a lady said, I slapped a man today and he slapped me back. He said, what effort do you have to slap a woman back? Even a fellow woman. They said, what should you have? What should you have done? He should kiss you. You slap someone. Trouble they sleep. You go wake up. Hallelujah. If you look for trouble, trouble will welcome you. Hallelujah. How can you slap a man? What should he be doing? Smile? I'm not saying you should slap back. But you are in the street. You are not in the church. You are in the street where there is no mercy. So I said that equal rights means that he should slap you back. If he doesn't slap you back, he's belittling a woman. And that's to belittle a woman now. Why would I slap you back? That means I'm thinking you are weak. But I know you are not weak. So let me slap you back. Then if you slap me, that means equal rights, gender rights, you know. But the feminist has no role in the Bible. Hallelujah. What the scripture teaches, wives should submit to their husband. You find it in Colossians also. Colossians 3. It's culturally right, it's biblically right. Also, husband, love your wives.
Okay. Don't let us forget that one. As the wife is submitting the husband will love the wife. I believe love weighs over submission, any kind of submission. Right? Love is strong. Love does not think its own. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it fits in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Again, family things. So Paul taught it in every church, really. Not every church, at least in the churches you have seen, right? And yet, no mention of scarf, no mention of silence, but really what? Just submission and love. Peter also taught it. 1 Peter 3. Verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Why they behave your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not just be the adorning of the placing of the head. That is, as a wife, everything you should be thinking about should not be makeup, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Hallelujah. For after this manner in the old time, only women also, who trust in the Lord, adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Sir. That's the word Lord. Not the Lord of glory. He's calling him Sir. Respect. So he's telling you that Sarah obeyed Abraham. Again, submission is well taught in the epistles without the scarf. So it will be a cultural thing. Back to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14. So, of course, Corinth has issues. It was a poor-struggled church. 1 Corinthians 3:1. If we don't speak on them as on the spiritual, but as unto Cana, even as unto babes in Christ. And so, there will be a language you will use in Corinth that you might not use in other churches. Language of people who are stubborn, something like that. Cana. So the wife is subject to her husband in everything, even in the way she dresses. That's just what Paul is teaching. But go back to that 1 Corinthians 14:34. Would that be what he was saying? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak. But to be under obedience, as also said the law. But you know that women sing in church. Even churches that believe this, they don't make women pastors, no. But women sing. And they lead prayer. They prophesy. So, wait. Is that not also ministry? But is that they should be keeping quiet in the church? But they are already singing. In fact, half of the music team, Alogis, and they will come and say, we bless the Lord. You know the Bible says, you are ready teaching. Keep quiet, right? But I want to believe, listen very well. This is my final synthesis on it. Apparently the book of Corinthians was written as a response. The reason as a response, because 1 Corinthians 1:11 that we read earlier, Chloe gave a report to Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:11. And I believe if you listen to me and follow me, I think this is our synesis. Let's listen very well. 1 Corinthians 1:11 says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among them. So, the book of Corinthians, the first epistle, Paul to the Corinthian church is actually a response to a verbal report from Chloe's people. And it included many counsels, many questions, that is sought from Paul. They asked Paul, what about a man and a woman? How should they conduct themselves? Should I marry? No, they asked Paul many questions. And you observe that the book of Corinthians was a response, right? You will say, now concerning things that you have written to me about idols, about food of heart to idols, and we will give them answers. Right? So, he had a whole lot of issues. And listen very well. He had to quote some of the things they said. For example, in 1 Corinthians 7:1, said, listen, now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Listen very well. That it is good for a man not to touch a woman is a quotation. That is what they wrote to him. He's not Pauline. You know what I just said? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. He's not Pauline. He's saying, this is what he wrote to me. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Then he is now answering their question. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man... Does it make sense? Does it make sense? And so, it is good for a man not to touch a woman is a quotation. But obviously, in the Bible, you will not find quotations. You don't find things put in inverted commas, right? Right?
Uh-huh.
You won't find things put in inverted commas, but... In reading the context, you will see it. In fact, there's a semicolon, so that should have given it away. Also in chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Mm-mm. That we know that we have knowledge is not Paul. They are the ones that saying, hence why it's correcting them. That see, even though you have knowledge, you now consider your brother. Is it making sense? So, the issue was that they wrote to him. Now concerning food cover that we are eating, so here they go. We have knowledge. And so he quotes them. We know we all have knowledge. It's a quotation. You know the way you are you wrote something to me, a question, then I want to ask an answer. Nigeria's 59th celebration, is it worth it? Right? I'm quoting it. Then I say, no, it's worth it. If for nations have gone 59 years without splitting, right? In unity, and still the giant of Africa, and, you know, as much as you are complaining, you are still way, way better than many other nations in the world, right? But I've quoted you and I said, is it worth it? You'll be quoting more of some of the things they said. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. You also quoted one there. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead. Can you see? Again, that's not Pauline, right? He's quoting what they said. How can you say there's no resurrection from the dead? Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we have found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Jesus Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Okay? And so, there will be quotations. So I want to believe, listen very well. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. Verse 17 says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together. Not for what? Not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that what there be divisions among you, and I partly believe. Can we read verse 19 together, everybody? Want to go? For there must also be what? Heresies among you. Again, it says, there are heresies among you. Heresies among you. So they had factions, they had divisions. People who believed different things, right, within the same church. Recall that in 1 Corinthians 3, some already said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter. Peter that did not come and preach to them. Just that they, maybe, you know, just by hearing your pastor quote someone else. They already say, that's my father in the Lord. You know, quotation is not recommendation. You make sense?
Uh-huh.
Quoting the minister of the gospel is not recommending the same. You know? Paul now says, you have one father. You know? You must learn to define where you learn and what you learn. Again, curiosity does not lead to spiritual growth. Again, so 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 19, they had heresies among them. Paul says, when you gather, you are not gathering for the better, but for the worse. You are just believing different things. This one is saying, I'm of Apollos, 1 Corinthians 3, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Stephanas, I'm of, you know, you all speak to anyone that you like the face. Hallelujah. And so they had different factions in that same church. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? And so that's why you have to quote a whole lot. Why some are saying there's no resurrection from there? Some are saying we have all knowledge. Some are saying it's not good to touch a woman. Abi? And so he was replying to them. I want to believe that 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 35 is a quotation. I submit to that fully. I'm confident in that. Look at it again.
It says, let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but to be under obedience as hear the law. And if they will learn anything, let them also ask their husband at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in the church. Obviously, this must have been reported by Chloe, who is a woman, and you know, telling Paul that this is what some people are saying. Is it making sense? This is what some people are saying, that women should keep quiet in the church. Let me just get what you said now. So some people have been trying to silence women in church meetings, and of course that would have been a real concern for Chloe. That's why you now read verse 36. Verse 36 actually points to that. Verse 36 says, what? Did you make sense? What? Came the word of God out from you? That is, did the word of God originate with you? Or came it to you only? The word you only now gave it up. Gave it up for me. Is the word monos. M-O-N-O-U-S. That is, are you the only ones? Came it to only you? Are you the only ones? I said that word is grammatically masculine. It's grammatically masculine in the Greek. So I want to believe that 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded the Lord to remain silent, as also said the law. And if they will learn anything, let them go and ask their husband at home. But it's a shame for a woman to speak. But I want to believe that it's a quotation. Quotation as against women participating in Christian meetings. And so Paul is now saying, did the word of God originate with you? Do you think that the word of God is coming to you alone? Is it making sense? He now says, if a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him apply the things that I write unto you, that commandments of the Lord. What are the things that I'm writing to you? Verse 39. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. How do we get what I just did now? Eh? Come on. You want me to come again? We've said that some of his writings in Corinthians were quotations, right? And I showed you some, right? Right? And we said that they had heresies among them. Abi? That means different factions. Some said there's no resurrection on death. Different things. Abi? I want to believe that this is also a quotation. He's quoting what they said. Apparently, some people have been trying to silence women in church meetings, using their cultural standards of submission. And they want to use that to silence, and that must have been a call for concern for Chloe, who is a woman, right? And so Paul is now saying, verse 36. What is this? What was that? Do you think the word of God originates with you, or is only for you? And we look at that word only for you, monos, right? Which is grammatically masculine, right? Do you think the word of God is only for you? Verse 37 says, if you think you are a prophet, if any man thinks he is a prophet, think himself to be a prophet. So he's talking to the men now. Eh? Again, which men? The one that wants to silence the woman, right? They say the woman can ask her husband at home. If you think you are a prophet or spiritual, that's what they are trying to tell us. And let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you that are in the commandments of the Lord. What are in the commandments of the Lord? He had written here that all of them can speak with tongues. All of them can prophesy, right? Eh? So, again, what again is the commandment of the Lord? But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, forbear to prophesy, eh? And forbid not what? Again, is this for everybody? Yes. That is, your women, don't forbid anybody to speak in tongues. Everybody must speak. As opposed to what you are saying, that the women should keep quiet. So it's not a doctrine. Actually, it's a quotation that has a response. What will be the response to it? Let your women keep quiet. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. And so many still have it. They believe that the charismatic is for the guys. It's for the guys. Again, the fact that you have a beard and you have a thick voice does not make you spiritual. You think that the word of God originated with a guy? So I want to believe that the 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 35 is non-Pauline. Is a non-Pauline quotation. As he also had women that worked with him himself. Because that offers the reason for the change of tone in verse 36. There's a change of tone. What came with the word of God from you or to you only? If you observe, you find that in verse 34 and 35,
It sits uncomfortably, both hermeneutically and grammatically. I mean, contextually and hermeneutically. It's sitting uncomfortably in that 1 Corinthians 14. That 1 Corinthians 14 actually advocates that everybody should flow with the Spirit. Right? 1 Corinthians 14 is advocating that everybody should flow with the Spirit in the church. So, saying that the women should not keep quiet would be uncomfortable in that context. Again, it will be a quotation that has an answer. The answer is, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Yes, again, another verse you may also see that is 1 Timothy 2. Just close on this. Verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but that would become women professing godliness with good works. Is this the same thing Peter was saying? Eh? Alright. Verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This is Paul again to Timothy. I suffer not a woman to preach, but to be in silence. But the Great Commission was given to everybody. Go to the world and preach the gospel. Right? Historically, women were even part of the people that were there when he was saying it. But why would he say, I suffer not a woman to teach? Again, look at the context. Look at the context. Verse 13 now says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was a transgression. Notwithstanding, he shall be saved in the tribe, and if he continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. What is he talking about? He'll be talking about a woman and her husband. A woman and her husband. Let's see what he has been talking about earlier. In verse 4, he says, who we have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us with his fine new time. Can we read verse 7 to 9 together? Want to go? Wherefore, I'm ordained a preacher and I oppose to, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that what? Without, again, wait. Who are the men? Now pray everywhere, lift up holy hands. Is it men and women? Everybody in the church. Abi? They are the one that will pray everywhere now, lifting up holy hands. Who are they lifting up holy hands to? To the Christ. Abi? To the Christ now. To the Lord. Abi? Is he the head of the church? So lifting up holy hands will be an attitude of honor, submission, and worship. Attitude of honor, submission, and worship. So he now uses that to now teach women also their husband. That is, don't let everything you have just be braided apparel. Don't let, learn in silence and in subjection, with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach. He explains that the word no is the word ode, O-U-D-E. He actually, that is. I suffer not a woman to teach, that is, to exercise authority, dominion over the man, over our husband, This is marital. It's purely marital. That is, in the marital institution, the way we honor Christ is the way the wife will honor our husband, right? That attitude of lifting our hands, blessing his name, worship, and submission, total surrender, is what the woman should have in the house. Don't start preaching things to your husband. Don't start usurping authority over your husband. Then you now lays credence on Adam and Eve. Again, that would be wife and the husband. Does it make sense? So let the outline in silence will be what? Subjection, right? Let her be submissive to our husband. Again, there's no place that contradicts women preaching. Again, the Great Commission was given to everybody, regardless of the gender. The ministry of Christ is not gender based. It is the ministry by the Spirit, and though it means that everybody who has the Spirit can actually fulfill that ministry. We can have ministry gifts who are women, as we have seen in all the epistles. We've seen apostles, we've seen
Priscilla, who was a teacher, an astute teacher of God's word. Is that clear? Again, Joel's prophecy will confirm that. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, but much more, I will have servants, and I will have handmaids, people who are female, who will actually teach the word. Learn something?